Actually, that's precious metal that could be used in tanks in the fight.
You could maybe argue that socialists wear seven rings on their hand. Japanese barbecue finger ring.
Japanese barbecue hand.
Heart.
Hand. She tattooed all that shit on her hand. You fucking idiot.
Okay.
Oh God. Oh, that's next. Whoo. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that sometimes matters, mostly matters. I'm Sean.
I'm Dan.
From the internet. And
I'm trying to not do the thing where I say from the internet, and like I did it. I did it for a couple episodes now, and now you add it. That's horseshit.
I added it just to piss you off. Like, literally.
Which
just
is ridiculous, because
you did this to yourself. You added a persona, so.
I didn't start the podcast with that persona. Just host, damn it.
This week we have two albums, one by
Ariana Grande
and the other by Panda Bear. We got some singles from Disclosure and everybody's favorite Migos.
It's going to be a great podcast. Plus, last week music news and music culture exploded a little bit. With the fact that 21 Savage got arrested by ICE, that happened as we released the podcast.
We released the podcast, 10 minutes later the story broke, we go, oh, fuck.
Yeah, so I recorded a little intro about it, saying that it happened, so y'all knew, if you get your news and shit from here, Lord help you. But really shortly, we will be having a much larger conversation about that whole thing, because it's a thing.
It's beautiful.
This is what Audio Face was made for. Sorry to comment on 21 Savage's expense, but like this is the kind of news story that Audio Face was made for.
Anyways, so we'll go into singles. So we have Talk by Khalid and Disclosure.
Yeah, so this was a pleasant surprise this week.
Very pleasant surprise. When I see Khalid, I always think DJ Khalid, and I keep forgetting that they're two different people.
Me too, which makes it that much more of a pleasant surprise. Talk is technically a Khalid song, but Disclosure produced it.
You can definitely hear Disclosure.
Absolutely. And Khalid, we've given him a decent amount of love on this podcast, but probably not as much as he deserves, because he's a phenomenal singer, one of the most phenomenal singers out there at this time right now, especially male vocalists. And I don't know, what did you think about the song?
I liked it.
Oh, yeah, solid. Killed it.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for a new Disclosure album, to be honest.
I think we are about due.
To me, their production, like, you know, they did all their random singles in that week last
Moonlight
year.
Moonlight EP.
Yeah, their production is starting to sound more crisp. Hmm. Starting to get like almost Dead Mouse level of clean, which is very rare in
clean in the
music.
Sense of like what can you tell from like let's say Caracol or Settle that you're starting to be able to tell that's different.
Even Settle to Caracol, you can hear a difference in their production, because you can hear Settle's like okay, it's
Settle like, seems like a little bit more like out. I guess what I'm trying to touch down is like what the description is, and Settle seems kind of like less refined, less like
yeah, exactly, not as clean. Not you could hear some like the quality of the audio isn't as good as it is on Caracol. And now even on Moonlight EP and stuff, it sounds more clean. It sounds like, okay, they put more effort into their production quality. They put more time in the studio and everything. Because now, I mean, naturally, as a musician, you evolve, you get more traction, get more money into the studio and whatnot.
Yeah, so you can afford to have people who are better at mastering your music, or you can learn those skills.
Or you just dead mouse your shit and just be an amazing producer, which I think they're starting to get to that level. So I'm really excited for them to make a new album.
I think overall the song's like a little bit softer in tone. It's not like a Disclosure like banger type of song. That being said, it's still very much like it's well produced.
Great too, so then we have everybody's favorite trio, Migos, which they just need to stop making music. Poison Wind's awful.
Position to Win.
When I'm good, fuck. Whatever it is, all I heard was Skirt and Trap, and I'm done.
I will say this. So Position to Win, it was produced by Migos' own producer. They have their own like producer for themselves. They say his rap tag like in the song itself, and I honestly forgot what it was, but the production in it was a little bit different from what I would expect from most trap. It means they're going in a different direction. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but like the bars, I'm talking instrumentally speaking, mm-hmm, not the lyrics, the bars had a little more variance. It wasn't just the same, like, looping repetition for the whole song. They're kind of explored different notes and different, like, melodies and different patterns, which shows a little more depth, I think, than your average trap song. That being said, I think this was made for a soda commercial during the Super Bowl, so
yeah,
I'm not expecting that much. But if, oh, DJ Durrell is his name. And he's like, if Migos are performing live and just like the three Migos and someone working like the ones and twos, it's DJ Durrell.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think I was able to notice that there. I still hold my ground that Takeoff is the only one with like proper rapping skills in the album. I mean, in the group, but they always push him to the very end of the song where I think most people would just give up already.
Yeah, because the other ones are awful.
An improvement from Culture 2, yes. I'm definitely going to be a lot more careful in saying that anything they make is a good album this year, but
I'm not listening to it. I already said last year that I'm done with them, so.
Yeah.
It's a trap-free zone.
We are overdue. We are actually overdue for Culture 3. Because the previous two Cultures came out in January of the past
Please
2 years.
Don't.
So, well, only a matter of time. The rest of February is looking a little mild, and March is looking a little mild too, so maybe they'll drop one.
Please don't. Just stop making music.
So, let's go to
the United Kingdom corner. Let's go to the green card corner.
Shall I take a few shots and do my English accent just for the segment?
No, God, please don't.
No, because that'd be... We'll get into that. So let's start from the beginning and then get to the meat of it. So
meat and 21, potatoes.
So Caesar's 21 Savage, arrested by ICE. ICE announces that his public persona is false.
False.
And that...
He's actually English national.
Yeah, an English national.
No, okay, context. Or little backstory. So... Sunday, we both had the day off. I'm playing Xbox, and Dan barges in my room and goes, 21 Savage just got arrested by ICE. I'm like, wait, why? What the fuck? He goes, he's British. I go, what?
Like, we were all just sort of so, well, A, I don't think the best time to bring up any sort of news that's going on is while another person's playing Xbox.
Oh, yeah, because, so my character died because I just dropped, the guy on my mic's like, what just happened? I'm like, hold on.
This is like when I got told during a round of Team Fortress 2 that Michael Jackson died.
Yo, that was, man.
But not to belabor, to get too far away from the point. That's how I told you about the 21 Savage thing. And a lot of your reaction was that, like, it didn't make a lot of sense.
It did not because, make, yeah, because
you know,
I'm like,
Zone 6, out the gutter, 21, like Atlanta, Georgia, all this shit.
Like, in interviews and stuff, he sounds like he's from the gutter.
And so, for most for a lot of Sunday and Monday, that seemed to be, like, a bit of a confusing situation. And then 21 Savage's lawyers, one of whom is actually Jay-Z's lawyer, because Jay-Z sent in one of his lawyers to go and assess 21 as Jay-Z is wont to do. But the story is that, or at least 21 Savage's representatives and legal team came out to say that, I don't know what his real name is off the top of my head, Shaya bin something, but 21
something
was
wild.
Savage was brought to the United States at the age of 7 by his parents. So, like, many cases...
Shaya bin Abraham Joseph.
Yeah. Like, many cases where kids are brought to the United States and other countries as kids, their parents are fleeing some sort of situation and kind of just know the legal ramifications. But nevertheless, the kids are not... You're not supposed to be able to understand citizenship and all those things when you're 7.
He's a dreamer. That's the best part. 21 Savage is a dreamer.
I mean... Yes, in the sense of this is the kind of people that the DREAM Act in the United States kind of, not to get too political, kind of is meant to support, but 21 Savage would not qualify as being a dreamer in this case.
It's just funny.
But he's very similar to one of these types of people. Anyways, so they say he was brought over here when he was 7. He tried to apply for the special kind of visa called a U visa, I believe, which you get from witnessing some... Basically, you witness some really traumatic event that happens to be a crime, and in return for providing some evidence or information for those crimes, you can be granted, you know, on the road to citizenship to kind of, like, protect you. And so 21 Savage applied for this apparently in 2014.
Because, you know, he's seen a couple murders.
Yeah, his whole name...
Oh, my face, there's a dagger.
Yeah, his whole name and backstory is based off the fact that when he was 21, on his 21st birthday, he witnessed his brother get shot in a, like, drug deal gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a specific sort of case where he could qualify for that visa. So that visa application has been pending since 2017. So in the meantime, you're kind of like in limbo.
You're super in limbo.
It seems like 21 did his due diligence and like, okay, I was brought by no fault of my own as a kid when I was young. I'm not here legally, but I'm, you know, trying to make my way up as anyone would otherwise try to do. And he's got his paperwork in. He's waiting on it. So now ICE busts in and says, your whole story is a lie. Everything you come up with is a lie. From what we seem to understand at this point, he still came up in Atlanta, at least from age 7. Maybe he wasn't born there. Maybe he wasn't raised there age 0 through 6. But 7 through 25, 26, wherever he's at right now, still a pretty long time to be in Atlanta. Still, I'd understand if all those stories are like true, that you experience them. It's still feasible. And at least not as crazy as it seemed when it first came out. So that's like as much of the weeds as we can get into it. Now let's get to the fun reactions. What was it? Of course the memes were insane.
Oh, dude, those are the best parts of anything.
Yeah, so a lot of the memes were...
By the way, AOC called out 21 ICE.
Oh, that would be a fun thing. I'll throw that in. But Sean just showed me a story that AOC called out ICE for arresting 21 Savage. That's a couple Vince points right
that's
there.
That's like several Vince points. But by the way, question, wasn't ICE created after 9/11?
Yes, Sean, you're actually correct. ICE was created after 9/11 in response to the war on terror. And originally, the Customs and Border Patrol was in charge of, you know, making sure that we had Border Patrol and Customs. I think they did a great job. They did a pretty good job. ICE was created as a, along with the expansion of the military surveillance state, in order to make sure that we were able
to... Freedom Fighter Edward Snowden told us, they're all spying on you.
Yeah. Hashtag no politics. Anyways, the memes were kind of... Americans don't really understand British culture, and Americans don't understand British black culture, and no, African-Americans don't understand British black culture.
It's very different.
So it was a little bit clunky. It was all just like, oh, look, here's this grime rapper that 21 Savage secretly is. Oh,
grime rapper.
Hey, look, he's... oi, bruv, you found out my secret thing. Like, it's all these, like, really, like, hokey sort of jokes.
That were,
like, sort of, of course, the internet's gonna do this. Of course, it's gonna be funny. But it didn't seem like black Twitter in its rarest form. But anyways...
You on rare form.
A couple of actual celebrities and musicians got a little bit in the barrel. Demi Lovato got criticized for post or resharing some of those tweets and some of those memes, including the like, oh, hey, bruv, you finally found my secret, eh, thing 21 Savage was throwing around. She got so much hate, she deleted her Twitter. She did the Gwen Butler.
Oh, God.
We can't say no to little bitch because this is a woman quitting Twitter, and being a woman on Twitter is hard. That's rough. I get that. That being said, you are a celebrity, and you did it to yourself. So this is not the most, like...
I will give you the noted somewhat bitch award. There we go.
I, as a general rule, try to steer away from referring to women as bitches. But, like, regardless. The action that
she's not really... She's not Lana Del Rey, so she's fine.
The action there is still instated. Chris Brown and Offset had a little bit of a feud. Now, of course...
Whoa. I wonder what's sad. Whenever I hear the words Chris Brown, all I think of is domestic violence.
Well, yeah, that's all you should think of domestic violence. For some reason, when people hear Chris Brown, they think of, oh, what concert ticket should I buy? But enough about those conversations we have in Audio Face all the time. As much as you hate Migos or whatever with Migos, they're very close with 21 Savage. They're homies. And so Offset came to 21 Savage's defense when Chris Brown was talking shit. They're about to threaten to get in a fight.
No, Offset. No, a little bitch Offset.
You're right. Not a little bitch Offset. Came to 21 Savage's defense, there you go, actually. There you go. And Brown said, fuck you, little boy. Better worry about what you got going and focus on you, Brown wrote. Because Offset, not a little bitch Offset, dared to come to 21 Savage's defense. Not a little bitch Offset later responded to Brown with an Instagram story that read, Cokehead don't want smoke. With the smoke emoji. Again, I think Cokehead is the smaller portion of this. Mm-hmm. The part that Sean's mentioning is absolutely right. Chris Brown is a domestic abuser multiple times, including Rihanna.
Dude, he fucked up Rihanna.
Yeah. We all need to actually remember that. So there's these little tiffs happening because everyone wants to defend 21 Savage's honor, which reminds me a lot. Oh, I do want to say that in the large part, jokes aside, the music community is coming out to say, yeah, what's happened to 21 Savage is fucked up and unfair. ICE has gone crazy and solely gone overboard with their power. 21 Savage today, recording this on a Sunday, tonight is going to be the Grammys. 21 Savage nominated for Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
He is in an ICE detention facility that has actually been... Separate reports have shown that the same detention facility has been known to do several human rights abuses. I don't think 21 Savage is going to have to deal with that. However, he's going to be spending his Grammy night in a cell, where he supposedly gets 1 hour outside a day, but 23 hours otherwise inside. Inhumane in general, no one should be treated that way. 21 Savage in certain situations shouldn't be treated that way.
Also, AOC, like, went off.
Well, pass me that, but, like, what are your thoughts up to this point, since I was, like,
well, I mean, ICE is all bullshit, it's all surveillance and crap. That shouldn't be legal, in my view. But I'm trying... I don't want to go super political, because it's a fucking music podcast.
But, I mean, we're talking about...
I mean, yeah.
This is... Do it.
Yeah, so, it's... all bullshit. If it's somebody who is on their path to get citizenship, someone who's on their path to get a green card and whatnot, but is on hold, they shouldn't be detained. And that's something that is a problem in this country, is it's extremely hard to get citizenship. And if you are a citizen, or if you're trying to get citizenship and you are doing good in your community, doing good things and whatnot, then I think that you should have a easier path to citizenship. I think that's the whole problem of immigration in general. In this country, is it's so easy for people to say just get out, whatever, but we're a nation of immigrants, and it was easier at the time when we were founding this country to become a citizen, but now it's so incredibly hard to do it, to where people and families are separated and shit, to me, where if you want to and you show, okay, I'm willing to work in this country, I'm willing to make a living and have my family come here, then you should have a way easier path to citizenship than what is already in place in this country. So
you make a lot of good points, because yeah. A, we're not mentioning this, but 21 Savage has 3 kids,
mm-hmm.
and so they could possibly face their father, who's, like, he's, as all reports seem to say, he's been a perfectly good father, caring, paying attention to them.
He donates to his community, does everything a lot, too, yeah, and, so like, he's pretty...
The obvious pushback on all this is, like, okay, he's a rapper, he raps about doing all this, like, shit. Maybe some of it's fictionalized, but he seems like some of it's not, and it wouldn't be uncommon for, you know, like, people in the rap-related community, really anywhere, but especially Traplanta right now, could be related to some, like, forms of what we would call just organized crime.
Yeah.
But, like,
God damn it, this throat.
I mean, then you got to get into a, like, theoretical conversation about, like, crime and what is a white collar crime,
yeah,
or what,
yep,
is crime,
yeah, exactly,
that gets passed,
yeah,
by or gone, or what are the crimes that we pursue with particular vigor in this country,
mm-hmm.
and is it pursued on an equal footing for all people,
yeah,
and
exactly,
all races, societal structures,
yeah,
classes, etc.,
yeah,
which it seems to be a large mismatch here. What you were reading, Sean, is, yeah, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has been just lighting the internet on fire for many other reasons not related to this podcast, did venture into the realm of music, just like we venture into the realm of politics, tweeting in solidarity to 21 Savage, saying, I actually care about my community. Violent dealings with drug games from Latin America, like MS-13, mm-hmm. happened near my campaign offices.
Yeah.
We're monitoring the situation, but ICE is detaining children, political activists, and 21 Savage. And she even quoted a lyric from A Lot that I was actually listening to.
Oh, man, amount. I didn't know she even quoted A Lot. Yo.
It was, the gas was off, so we had to boil up the water. Been through some things, so I couldn't imagine my kid stuck at the border. Flint still needs water. Yeah. People was innocent, couldn't get lawyers. That's a lyric from A Lot that I was thinking, mm-hmm. about quite a lot when the arrest happened. So, yeah, I think AOC's on it in that case. And artists are largely co-signing on the Free 21 Savage. Before we stop this and actually take a quick break, before we get into our reviews and the rest of the show, there's a really obvious comparison here that I can't help but make to Free Meek Mill. Meek Mill had a similar situation of an artist who was, some people viewed was unfairly treated in the criminal justice system,
mm-hmm.
and people kind of rallied around to support this, or support the movement. And you could, I mean, more is at stake here, I think. 21 Savage could lose his citizenship. Meek Mill could have lost some of his, you know, time. And yeah. I think Meek Mill was neither artist, you could say, like, has the most, like, clean record,
definitely.
But I think the context that I added, not to pat myself on the back, of, like, what is crime and how is that adjudicated across, so within socially stratified areas, like, how is crime and law practiced in different communities and different areas based on whatever biases exist, wherever law is being practiced, what kind of role does that play within this context? And so, I previously said I don't want to choose Meek Mill as my hill to die on, because, like, he's also done a lot of fuckery. He had also done a lot of fuckery when he was on probation and shit like that. So,
we're chewing over.
Yeah, and but I honestly feel like this is different. This is kind of just like, this is a weird representation of how our over-militarized border detention system has started to go extrajudicial and go past the idea of law. And even though it's using what's in law in the books and what's being said, it's going past, I think, the intent of what a lot of people want to see. And I think the good faith of the law that the people who created it wanted to. When that's not happening, you have to sort of argue around it.
You need to abolish ICE and just go back to normal border patrol, which was working fine.
Yeah. People say abolish ICE is radical. No. Abolish ICE. Customs and Border Patrol was doing its job totally fine. There's no reason to give our Customs and Border Patrol tanks. Or to, like, dance around that by creating this whole new entity that is basically Customs and Border Patrol with military-grade weapons.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need military-grade weapons against school children.
Yeah, exactly.
But of course, this is America, so of course we think you do.
Well, I mean, oh, don't.
Different podcast.
How is that going to cost? How much is that going to cost? Don't start. Sorry, I'm about to go on a fucking.
But who's going to pay for it?
I was about to go on a tangent. Oh, sorry.
Do you have any last thoughts before we go to break? I mean, this is a whole like. This is a pretty.
No, because it's just going to be political. Because I heard I can't. Sorry.
Whatever. No, do it.
No, it's off of that.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, no, because I just heard Cory Booker do interviews and other shit, and people are pissing me off. I was about to do a 14-minute thing and make my own secular talk video.
Oh, God.
The progressive Sean.
By the way, so the fader really fast did talk to an immigration lawyer who says that things are looking okay, but it's going to depend a lot on the fact that 21 Savage is a father. He has this U visa that was going on, that's still pending. Yes, his past isn't clean, but I think where that kind of creates a lacking, the public outcry will create a different sort of pressure.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Which, again, we have to point out 21 Savage's privilege and ultimately being a celebrity and being an artist where this kind of pressure and support can pull through for you. So, it looks like we're kind of in a holding pattern with 21. Things may come out for the better. I think it'd be really weird and a really bad idea PR-wise for them to try to, like, deport him and actually go through with it.
Dude, if they actually...
give him the MF Doom treatment.
And if they give him the MF Doom treatment, that's game over for ICE, I think.
That's a power statement. You think if
because they, that'll piss off a lot of people. A lot of people.
That'll turn a lot of people who are otherwise, I don't think, as politically engaged.
Exactly.
To be super politically engaged.
Yeah.
And Cardi B will rally the troops.
It'll be that thing of people that don't really pay attention to politics. It can turn them into, they can turn them into the political atmosphere. You know, it's stuff like with Bernie's campaign or other things where certain things, like with our generation, a lot about student loans. But that shit turned a lot of people into the political process. If you have one of your favorite artists get detained and ousted from the country, then you'll be like, wait, why is this a thing? What is the law? And then you go down that rabbit hole and then you find yourself watching secular talk about it. There you go.
And then you come across Jesse Lee Peterson and you come all the way right back.
And then you...
Amazing!
And then you... Oh, God. Does that make you a beta male? Amazing.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the rest of the podcast, which includes the Ariana Grande review, Panda Bear review, and a lot of other really interesting news that you should be excited for.
And we're back, but the magic of editing, well, yeah, we're not that cool. We're back, whatever.
Yeah.
So we have Ariana Grande's new album, Thank You Next. 12 songs, 41 minutes long. She just fucking released an album not too long ago, too.
Yeah, Sweetener, I forget, came out in 2018.
Well, we reviewed it last year.
Later last year. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't think pop needs any more music, but anyway, so...
Pop never needs any more music, nevertheless.
Nevertheless, this is... I think this is a big album for her, in a way. I guess the song, Thank You Next, blew the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole controversy and shit with Seven Rings, which we went over last week of, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're a solid idiot.
We had a good bit of...
Super cultural appropriation.
We had a good bit of schadenfreude over that.
Oh, I love schadenfreude. You know what's funny? One of my friends, I guess it was a random episode of some TV show, asked me yesterday, he's like, do you know what schadenfreude means? Because they obviously know I'm German. I go, yeah, why? They're like, oh, it was an episode of, I think it was... 2.5 Men or some shit. It's like, oh, they used it in that. And I go, oh, it means you laugh at somebody else's demise. They're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's one of my favorite words, but it's kind of nuanced.
Now, I feel like schadenfreude is, I mean, super quick sidebar. German has a lot of great words that describe complex emotional situations because in German you can just hack on 30 words together.
Yes.
But I think
I love my language.
Schadenfreude is a very popularly known American phrase because that is just such a
Yeah, it's more used because there's not an English word that there's not an equivalent.
Yes, yes.
Because it's two words together because my language. Anyways.
Who should go first?
I can go first. Fuck it.
Okay.
So, what is the equivalent of a fuckboy in a woman form?
I had a very spirited conversation with this with one of my friends a long time ago because I believe that fuckboy is, while a trait that is mostly distributed by boys, is a personality type and thus anyone of any gender can distribute this
anyone
type.
Of any race can be an ignorant motherfucker.
So, sure.
Fuck girl?
Fuck girl. Let's go fuck
but girl. But girl spelled G-U-R-L. Because fuckboy is B-O-I.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you...
How about G-R-L?
If
fuck
you,
girl. Fuck girl.
I like girl with a U.
Okay,
it's
anyways.
Like girl. It's like when the how the gays say it. Girl.
The gays.
The gays.
How do the blacks say that? Anyways.
those are my tacos.
On this context of like, fuck boy but a girl kind of music. That's the tone you're describing
that's
lyrically.
That's her whole goddamn album.
Yes.
Did it move? Oh, thank you. Context, the last song is Break Up With Your Girlfriend, comma, I'm Bored.
I've gotten that text a couple times. This shit always happened to me. Why can't we just play for keys? Practically on my knees,
This woman goes, it's like, I'm bored, let me get on my knees. I'm like, whoa. I'm
okay,
like,
so.
Okay. So, context of the album, it's all about, also the second last song, Thank You Next, the one that's most popular in the album, that is being overplayed. Also, overrated song, in my opinion, but that's pop in general. You guys know my stance on pop.
Yes.
I like Troye Sivan's album, but even then, that's still pushing it for me. That came out last year. Thank You Next, she's like explaining all the things, different relationships, things that she's had and crap, but it's just a celebrity going on the wheel of men, which has happened plenty of times before of, I'm going to get married. Big mistake, never get married, just don't.
Yeah.
And then it lasts for 30 days, and then it was like, oh, but it was a big mistake, blah, 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 and it keep going over and over again in these patterns that lots of celebrities do, male and female. This happens all the time. And
infatuation,
it's just,
destruction from that infatuation, moving forward from it,
so, it's just so petty and bullshit, and it feels like you're in fucking high school. Except you're in your mid to late 20s, but you're still an ignorant idiot.
Which is a vibe.
Hard pass.
It's a vibe in this country.
It is a vibe in this country.
Musically, I mean, usually pop is like not much to say production wise but
this one is like a trappy pop for the production. It has trap snare in almost every song, so I wanted to rip my ears out.
Really like deeper 808s kind
super deep,
like, yeah,
and it felt it had really big trap beats but with pop intertones, pop lyrics, and then pop voice too.
Yeah.
Which I actually thought was, I'm like, okay, I can see how this is cool, but not for every single goddamn song on the album. There was a couple that weren't that bad. Fake Smile is probably my favorite on the album, if I could say that there's a favorite. Just because that's the only song that felt real to me.
Interesting. I can sort of see that.
Because it's something where it's talking about like inner feelings and stuff, which there's not many people that do it so well. especially in pop, because it can be either overgeneralized or it can be misconstrued a lot of the times, because people can't quite put into words. And
I see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard topic to talk about, but it's something that it's not brought in the light the right way. I think this is one of the songs that does. I mean, the best one for me that last decade is Sincerely Scary, but I'm trying not to go on a Maddie Healy tangent as always. Yes. But it's because...
For those who are playing the audio face drinking game, waiting to see what time Sean plays, mentions 1975, there's a drink for you.
Drink right now. But because it's a pop, 1975 or a pop-ish band, and this is a pop-ish album, so I wanted to compare the two different styles about that topic.
Fair enough.
So this is a this is hers, Talk About Fake Smile, which I go, okay, I can vibe with that song. I can't fake another smile. I can't fake like I'm all right. Ooh. And I won't say I'm feeling fine. After what I've been through, I can't lie. Ooh. Fuck off, fake smile. And the rest of the album just feels super fake to me.
Interesting.
And that's why I like the song Sincerity Scary so much from 1975, because it's, okay, this is about a topic that not many people get right and can talk about their feelings and everything, especially in this day and age.
And the topic being sincerity more broadly, and like how people like to put on a fake front to show, convince other people that they're happy or they're better than they are, when inside there's complex emotional
issues. That's the problem of people in general in this day and age, especially my biggest beef with millennials is that they hide so much, they don't confront their feelings head on, which I know is hard to do, but as a human, you have to do it. You have to learn how to do it. It's once you learn how to do that, then you'll get through life so much easier. Because it's something I've noticed when I talk to people can't look at you in the eyes. People always are looking down, especially when you start talking deep about feelings, and they just go and run away and hide.
I think there's a larger cultural thing you're getting at, but 100%. I think I'll get into my opinions, because I think mine differ a lot more than yours. Go ahead.
But overall, it wasn't a bad effort. It's just, you need to stop making music for a little while.
Right. We talked about this earlier.
Just stop.
Disclosure. They stopped making music for a while. They got better at making music. And they're able to think and ruminate on the topics that they're doing more and explore them
on
a level that isn't so shallow. Because a lot of people reach the, like, this using a shallow pool
analogy.
Using the shallow pool analogy, a lot of people swim in like the 4 foot, 5 foot region of the pool where there isn't a lot of like emotional depth there. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of artists take the time to work their way up to the deep end of the pool, where there's just so much more depth to go there, and because of that depth you have more to work with.
Exactly.
So I can see that.
This album is basically in the 5 foot the whole time, and then it goes to the 6 foot for a little bit, and then you look down, you're like, oh my god, shark, but you're in a pool, and then you go back, but then you realize that there's no sharks in pools.
It's like, dive right under those like divider areas to go back to the shallow end. Anyways.
Yeah, so under the lane lines.
I feel like, to speed mine up, because you captured a lot of what I felt about the album, but my overall takeaways were a little bit different. What I agree with you, I feel that it is like generic pop album number 6 to come out this year. Actually, maybe generic pop album number 1 to come out this year. It's probably going to chart well. But it isn't... And Ariana Grande, I think we've both said in the past at least, is definitely a talented singer.
Oh no, I love her voice. Yeah. That's what frustrates me. This is more constructive criticism than anything else, because if she can do something like make a Sam Smith type album with her voice, God.
Or even a Georgia Smith.
Even Georgia Smith. Oh my God. Something like that, to where it doesn't feel fake. It really feels genuine.
Right. It doesn't feel like
overproduced.
Cookie cutter. Because certain songs feel like you're trying to make songs that fit into a cookie cutter that will chart well, because that's what's done historically well for time immemorial is music getting made. Songs about dreaming about love being better than it actually is, or songs about love being not quite as much as it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of it are those things. Where I feel like this album kind of stands against a lot of pop is that, more so than other pop albums that are very in the mood of love and feelings and relationships, this shows growth from prior relationships. Because usually you do this sort of Taylor Swift thing of, oh, this boy was bad and I hate it and I'm going to sing this guitar ballad to it and I'm a better person now. But there's not a lot of reflection about that. Even in Thank You Next, which I think is why it actually got a little more credit than just being a viral hit, is in addition to being sort of flippant, like, thank you, next, I don't care, it's also a lot about how you made me, like, the mistake of dating you ultimately turned out to make me a better person. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing this new person and treating this new person better. That new person is myself. And so I think that is a trope in pop songs that is not really there in many pop songs. And it shows more emotional depth and growth in a pop song, in a mainstream pop song, than I think a lot of them do. That has to, I have to point at that and go, that is pretty good, pretty smart, pretty well thought out. It sucks that in the album, you have to get all the way down to song 11.
Second to the last song. And then the following song is...
Let me get there. The three songs... I think this is a bottom-heavy album in that most of the top songs are pretty bad. I liked... Fix My Eyes was okay. I actually liked Make Up and Thank You Next. But the big sort of like cross we have with each other is Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored. Yeah, I think it takes that, like, oh, I see where you're going with songs like Thank You Next and Fake Smile, where you have this, mm-hmm. like, really deep idea of how you're going to evolve over this trope of emotions and mm-hmm. Standard things. But it sort of goes back to, nah, fuck it. I just want you to realize that I want you more than your current partner does, so screw it, move on. Yeah, but you can mark that as a step going backwards, but I also mark that as steps backwards. This is music. You're going to make music about whatever emotions you have, and sometimes those emotions are there. I think that's fine and random. That's whatever Ariana Grande is feeling. More power to her.
No.
But yeah, it does seem, message-wise, it does seem a little bit disjointed or disconnected.
That's my biggest gripe, is you cannot put those two songs next to each other like that, because it literally contradicts one another, and that's why I'm like,
even I'm willing to go as far as to say, maybe it's the contradiction that is also the art, that, like, you can have these two feelings of, like...
I'm too logical of a person.
Well, here's the thing, I can, without using names here, because I have a very specific situation in which I could, let's say Thank You Next is about person A, and that is like, I'm done with that relationship for the better. While Break Up With Your Girlfriend is Bored, I'm Bored is like, okay, I'm in a new place to where I feel better about myself, on to the next one. So it's like passing the baton.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, I don't meddle with other people's stuff. I don't like to do that, because I've seen the damage it does to people. That's my problem.
And for the record, this isn't like, this is kind of a more forward way of saying, I want to date someone that's in a relationship. Yeah. I don't read that as a endorsement of that, and I also think that it would be like reading into it too deep to go like, Ariana Grande says these are your morals and this is how you should do them. I don't think anyone should take their morals from songs, but you can take like lessons in the ways other people are dealing with life and then evolve from that.
Just don't listen to pop music.
This is a much deeper conversation I expect to have about Ariana Grande than when we came into it. Pop music is totally fine.
Just
don't talk about relationships in your music. Everyone just talk about space.
Dude, that NASA song was hilarious. I need some space. NASA. That's
song,
actually kind of funny.
You and I are in agreement. NASA song is extreme garbage, but
it was extreme garbage. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my god. Elon, go put her on a Tesla.
We've spent more time on this is the most time we've spent on the top of an episode ever. So let's move on. But our ranking system, you're hosting. I'm sorry.
So our ranking system. Can I call her what we call
her? No.
Damn.
Our ranking system this week is Nancy Pelosi claps.
As much as I hate Nancy Pelosi, the fucking corporatist neoliberal hack, she did a funny thing where she clapped.
She sarcastically golf clapped in Donald Trump's face during the State of the Union. It became super meme worthy, and so for that case, Nancy Pelosi clapping as the meme more is better.
As the meme, exactly.
More is better in that sense.
More claps are better.
I want more Nancy Pelosi's in the same way I want more Margaret Thatcher's. Nevertheless, Nancy Pelosi to me, Nancy Pelosi claps for this, I would give it 3.
Yeah, I mean, what is the scale out of?
Out of 5.
I would say this is like 2, and you're about to clap, and Donald Trump looks at you and says, sound good doesn't work, and then you just let your hands go.
No. I was going to say, how about 1 Nancy Pelosi clap and 1 Nancy Pelosi shuffling papers? A shuffling papers is not a full clap.
All right. I like that one. Yeah.
So 2 claps and some paper shuffling.
Yeah, 2 claps and some paper shuffling. Yeah.
Cool. Next, we have the douchebag corner.
Le douche.
I have a selection of stories for you that is just gonna, you know, this is, we have conversations about the minutia of how good or bad is or isn't 21 Savage, Ariana Grande, whatever. These are assholes. So Tekashi 6ix9ine's ex-girlfriend did an, or current, yeah, former girlfriend, Sarah Molina.
I feel bad for her.
Gave an interview to the Daily Beast, a more like political based news.
And we have a second ex-existentacion.
They're really starting to blend in. Literally, if 6ix9ine wasn't Latin American or like Latino or whatever, I would confuse the two. But Sarah Molina is her name, and she suffered periodic physical abuse at the rapper's hand during their 7-year-long relationship.
Also, allegedly, you would date him for 7 years. Girl, you need to leave.
Yeah, that's a lot. The Ariana Grande album is needed for this woman.
Yeah, exactly.
I, of course, don't want to, like, blame the abuse too much, but...
I'm not blaming her. You
should leave, so, absolutely. She was assaulted first time on an October trip to Dubai because 6ix9ine was jealous, naturally.
Oh, my God, I hate males. Males get jealous so easily. It's ridiculous.
He punches me out of nowhere. I was leaking blood. Men are really insecure.
Dude, insanely insecure.
Molina says she left with a battered face during a separate incident. Holy and shit. Daily Beast has photos if you, for some reason, want to go to that. But, I mean, we it's all fun and games and we joke around about this. But truthfully, being a shitty person and, like, having this and carrying yourself like this has human consequences.
Yeah.
And people who look up to 6ix9ine, I'm sure, are in a rush to disparage this woman for coming out and say, oh, she's a liar, oh, look at this, look at that. It's just this cycle all over again that's not going to stop until you say...
had the same thing with ex-existentacion.
Yeah, and this cycle is not going to stop until we say, like, I'm not going to support this artist as a musician because that's where it starts. Yep. That's where looking over all of their bad behavior and all this shit starts.
Just don't fucking abuse people, man. I will never understand that. Also, if you're in an abusive relationship, fucking leave.
I mean,
it's very hard.
It's not that easy. And like for other people who have complex situations, but understand that if you happen to be in an abusive relationship and listen to Audioface, you are better than that.
Dip out. If you can dip out, dip out. Please.
Think of plans to dip out. Get some assistance on dipping out. But dip out.
If you have to slit a few throats, go a little slitty.
Make a rap career out of it. Might be cool.
name yourself DJ Slitty.
Soulja Boy.
Is he getting more in trouble for Nintendo?
No, he's getting... if Nintendo's... Well, let's say he's getting in trouble for Punch-Out.
Okay.
So Soulja Boy is accused of an alleged kidnapping and assault over the weekend, according to TMZ. Apparently, I think both of them were charged with battery, but what Soulja Boy, the woman reportedly told police that Soulja Boy hit her after she had fallen to the ground before bringing her into his garage and tying her up to a chair with an extension cord.
Jeez.
Ongoing investigation. Those consoles must not be selling well.
These consoles are definitely not selling well.
But, I mean, yeah, Soulja Boy's been getting a lot of, like, stuff in the press lately for the whole Drake thing. But remember, he's an abuser, as many of them are. And Bow Who?
Bow Wow is... Wow. He's added his name to the list on battery charges. Oops. Yeah.
So this is the one I meant to say. Both the woman involved in the case and Bow Wow were arrested and charged with battery. Both of them. In this case, it was officers weren't able to figure out who the aggressor was, but the woman sustained visible minor injuries. Maybe Bow Wow as well. It seems like a domestic dispute, and definitely of the three we've listed here,
that's the list.
It seems like the least severe. I think we did this in like descending order of severity.
Exactly. Worst to not so worst.
Yeah, but still like any sort of alleged battery and just touching partners in ways that are non-consensual in that sort of thing.
People just need to calm down, man. Here's my grief with humanity. I wish people were more irrational.
Irrational or rational?
Rational. I wish people were more rational. That's my biggest grief with people. Anything big happens, an emergency or something, people go irrational so quickly.
Yeah, I think we're very quickly to, like, turn off our normal human responses, or, like, our normal human in the sense that we're human because we are better at doing a lot of these planning and thinking and coming to conclusions things than most other animals. But we revert back to our more animal instincts when we're, like, in super high emotional states. But at no point does that need to get to the point where you're abusing your spouse. That's just not right. In a physical way, and we're talking about physical violence here because that's what's sent to happen, but emotional violence, all that stuff too. This is a longer podcast than I ever expected.
Yeah.
But you're getting this content. You're enjoying it. What's next, Sean?
Thomas York.
Yes. The boy ourself. What's up with him?
He has major fucking grief. Beef. With the ever so kind UK Prime Minister
Theresa May.
I was gonna say something bad, but thank you for saying that. No, what was the thing that Jeremy Corbyn like mouthed that the Tories were going after him, but he never really said anything. Stupid woman.
People, stupid woman.
Stupid
yes.
woman. Stupid people.
Yeah.
The stupid woman. Theresa May. I don't give a shit. Who cares? Fucking Tory party.
To be fair, like.
He actually didn't say that.
Yeah.
The Tories are like, oh my god. I'm like, dude, you guys are war criminals, but okay. Yeah,
first of all, since when do Tories care about women's rights?
About to say that.
But hashtag no politics, hashtag especially not British politics, which I super don't understand, except for Brexit.
Ironically, I think, I definitely understand way more, well, because I pay attention to European politics. I understand more British politics than Dan, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tom was very vocal on the whole Brexit thing, which, as a German, I find hilarious. Nobody voted for you to threaten chaos upon this land in myriad form in order to intimidate its citizens and parliament. Nobody voted for you to bring into question the lives of millions of Europeans in this country as a bargaining tool, and in so doing, causing immense distress and suffering, an action worthy of the early days of the Third Reich. Nobody voted for you to drive this red bus over a cliff with the passengers screaming in the back. None of this has been an expression of the democracy you have been claiming to uphold. Fear is not a weapon to be used by a UK Prime Minister in the 21st century. Stop the bus now.
Yeah, that was a note that Tom York fired up his notes app, took a screenshot, put it on Twitter. It's, at least in America, it's very rough to compare anything to Nazis. Like, that's the third rail. You don't touch Nazis. Even when there are literally Nazis killing people, you don't call them Nazis. And you definitely don't refer to anything the president might be alluding to, or you can't even point to similarities between Nazis. Tom York doesn't seem to care, isn't caring. Do you know if there's any, like, sort of backlash that these comments have received as far as British politics go?
Not that I've heard of.
Yeah,
I think this is not because Tom York is so vocal in politics,
yeah,
that it's nothing different, you know? It's nothing that he hasn't said before. I mean, I relatively agree with him to some point because I think Brexit is a hilarious mistake for England to do because mainly they're... If you guys don't understand European politics, I have a lot of beef with the EU. I have lots of beef with the EU, but for different reasons. They're an island nation, and a lot of their imports come from Europe. And if they leave the European Union, they get taxed on those imports and exports.
Oh, heavily. Extremely.
It's stupid, just economic stupidity for them to leave. But
and it's
anyways,
done largely under the guise of like being against immigration, being
which,
more Britain first. That was like the nationalist aspects of Brexit were what tied or what got Brexit over the post to actually before the Brexit vote. That's what it was.
51%. Yeah, the extra 1% that won it. Ironically, how has the world come full circle? Well, Germans are more willing to open their arms to people than Brits are. And we're the Huns, and we're the bad people. Go fuck yourself, England.
And this is getting way too Eurocentric. But
yeah, but I mean, it's
our European listeners going to love it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. A couple European listeners will definitely love
hashtag
it.
No Euro politics.
Dude, anyways, Greece owes me a lot of money, and that's all I wanted to say. Anyways, Tom York is always, it's never a surprise to hear him say, but I mean, he's been big on Brexit for a while. But let's go to Panda Bear.
Let's talk about some goddamn music.
Let's get
into
some weird fucking hipster shit.
Panda Bear's Buoys. It is 9 songs, 31 minutes long.
Yeah.
Panda Bear. Oh, I can start. Yeah. Panda Bear were kind of known as like a
weird. A collab guy, usually.
Yeah, he's a collab person, really into...
He did one of my favorite songs with Daft Punk.
Yeah. Hipster shit stuff. I think... I want to say The Voids.
He's done a bunch of stuff with different people.
No, I'm confusing Julian Casablancas with a Panda Bear, which I have done from time to time because they both did Daft Punk songs. But yeah, Panda Bear, hipster sort of stuff. Buoys is a very ambient, experimental album in the sense that...
Extremely experimental.
I think guitar and acoustic guitar is a lot of like the bass and bones of the album. Not a lot is very much upbeat and sort of just light and airy mixed with vocals and different kind of things that are going on there. It's definitely, it's a sound, it's a vibe. It's not mainstream in the slightest. And because of that, I think it will... like, would hurt some of its appeal to other people. And for me, it just kind of seemed like... I get it was a concept. All these songs go together and were made to reflect a certain kind of mood. But maybe it's because I haven't paid closer attention to the lyrics, and I should probably do that. But I haven't... I'm not seeing, like, the why. Like, why are all these songs here? What are these songs trying to do and say? It's 9 songs long, and all these songs are, like, full songs. So I gotta say it's an album. But 31 songs long makes it closer to feeling like
minutes.
A 31 minutes long makes it seem closer to being like a drop sort of thing.
It's so,
what is this? Is more of my question.
It's strange, is what it is. Which I'm always, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, experimental is probably my favorite genre of music. Which is, I mean, broad as, but I like trying new things. This is definitely out there. My biggest gripe. Is that all the songs start to blend together.
Yeah.
All of them have this really weird undertone of his vocals. He's fucking with the vocals by, God damn it, I can't think of the, with the reverb of the vocals.
I was about to say reverberation.
Yeah, and it just sounds like you're on a little plastic reverb toy that you use it and you just go, whoa, 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 whoa. You just keep like using your hand on the knob the whole time and you don't stop.
Pause.
Gotta say pause, granddad. And that's every song has that where it just feels like he's going nuts with the reverb and
right.
He doesn't just turn it off. Like, he has a good voice and everything, which I think if it was too distracting to me because I couldn't understand a word he said. So we are. And I think it would have been better if you didn't have too much overlay with the vocals because the album itself, the production and the instrumentation of the album is so experimental already. If you add the voice to it, it just becomes noise. It becomes a limit of too many sounds and, ironically, the Amadeus quote, too many notes of everything's colliding and clashing together. I can see where he was going with it. I can see he was trying a different sound to combine like Afro beats, like Jamaican
beats. You're
right.
And like
stuff.
Trap, and, like Latin trap. And
yeah,
dub and
that,
like
and
that.
Into pop, into light indie, and combine all three genres into one, which I go, that's an interesting mix and it can work if it's done right. And the ideas there, the production is okay, but I think it was so many ideas wrapped into one that there was just too many contradicting sounds to where it just didn't do well with the ears. But we'll give him credit for the effort. It's definitely out there. And it's not something that anyone else is really doing that I've heard, where you're mixing those genres together because it's not normal genres to be putting together. So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I didn't hate it. It's just... I wish it was done a bit differently because it was just the vocals were too distracting from the work.
Yeah, and especially when I'm reading this album, it seems like a lot of it is based on like lyrically what is it trying to accomplish? And lyrically, it seems like this sort of exploration of human emotions and things like that. But that's hard to do when it's hard to hear the lyrics. And
exactly.
When the lyrics are like, and when the production that's done on the voice is too distracting of an element to where I almost listen to this music as though the English is just blending in as another language that's blending in.
Yeah, it's kind of like M83 does this sometimes too, where you can blend in your vocals with the back and you can't really understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And that's a problem I have with some experimental music, is that unless you're just trying to use your voice as an instrument and not really use the vocals too much, which I understand, which is a different thing, then I can go with it. But if it's something where I can tell, because everything in the every song has a bunch of lyrics to it, if you're trying to make those into the sound of the album, you're doing it wrong by blending it. So
yeah.
This gets... this gets 4 shuffles of paper, so 2 claps.
I'm going to give this 2 claps as well. I think...
I definitely like the idea. I really like the blending of the genres of try something new and see... Because Afro stuff is awesome. I love it. It doesn't get out there as much as it should. And if you can blend it with different things, I think you can make amazing sounds. And it's one of those to where, okay, let's see if other people can do it and have different ideas and see what you can do with it.
Yeah. I think that's pretty well wrapped up.
Yeah, choice is there. That's a good one.
Anyways, the Grammys are tonight. You'll be hearing this on Monday, at least, or afterwards, so we don't know at this time what actually happened during them, but we do know that it was pretty rough trying to get a...
A shit ton of people dropped out of the Grammys.
Well, dropped out, but it's like, not dropped out, but it's just like said they weren't going to do it.
Yeah. Ariana being one of them.
Ariana Grande is actually the one who, in this list we're about to mention, pulled out of the show. She was going to do it, and then she didn't because there was a disagreement over who was going to perform it. And my understanding when I read a little bit about that was it was like her and her producers couldn't decide which song. Apparently the producers of the Grammys wouldn't decide what song, wanted to decide for her what
for her
song.
What song and she wanted to do what she wanted to, which I, for her, I'm on her side on this big time, because if someone invites me to do a show, I'm like, okay, I want to do this song. I want to do this. Like, I'll give you a list. And if you vary off that, then you go, okay.
And what the Grammys tend to do is, like, song mashups.
Yeah, I hate that.
And those
shit.
Are, like, usually never good.
They're
so
awful.
The producers insisted that she perform 7 Rings, but the producers would mash up another song and they wouldn't tell her which one it was.
And I don't like that, because then it could totally fuck up the song that you worked hard on doing, which, I mean, 7 Rings isn't that great of a song, but still.
But, like, from an artist's perspective, you see that, like, it's literally someone saying, hey, I'm going to take over your art for you.
I'm going
to make it so you are presenting your art in a way that you don't intend.
And that's which I hate about the Grammys in general.
This invoked a memory of Gorillaz' Grammy performance with Madonna, where they had the holograms.
Remember,
Gorillaz was way on top of it with the hologram idea, way back in 2005, 2006.
Shawn Ryder days.
when they did Fed Up with Feel Good Inc. and they mixed that. Where Madonna kind of upstaged the entire thing because it was Madonna.
Fucking Madonna.
And the technology they were using would not allow you to have the volume too high. And so when Madonna was doing only her song and the Gorillaz part was over, that part was just louder. So there's just like a whole mess. And I don't like the way the Grammys did that. But the Grammys tried to get Drake, Childish Gambino, Kendrick Lamar to do the Grammys. They all said no. the Grammys will feature Post Malone and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's going to be a phenomenal disaster. Because they're going to try to match those.
I know, that's going to be hilarious.
California 90s, 2000s surfer alternative rock mixed with whatever the fuck you call Post Malone.
I call it fuckboy privilege trap.
I was going to call it privilege trap.
Privilege trap is a very good way to put it.
Privilege trap.
Because I remember, there's a couple songs on there I actually don't mind. And I like the song. I hate that I like the song with him and 21 Savage, but I really like that song.
I think he has a good, like...
He has a good voice.
I would like it if he were the white guy that trap artists came on and said, okay, I want a singer. I want someone to do some, like, light crooning. Because his, like, light crooning kind of does work okay with a trap beat. But it's largely a mess. And when he does it on his own, and when he tries to write lyrics on his own, it just, like, it becomes unrelatable for trap.
Yeah, which is hilarious. So, everybody's favorite Canadian, Justin Bieber, talks about his depression and his Xanax abuse. This is interesting because we've had this topic of a lot about, or this topic, this discussion about artists and depression and their abuses of, a lot of it Xanax. As someone, that's why Lil Xan got the fucking nomination for Naughty Little Bitch Award. because he's opening up about his depression and his abuses of drugs. And he said that he got really depressed on tour. He said he hasn't talked about his interview with Vogue. He hasn't talked about it. He's still processing Jesus, so much stuff that he hasn't talked about. He was lonely and he needed some time, which I completely understand. He has said that being successful when he was 13 kind of fucked with his head and everything because he didn't know exactly who he was.
To the surprise of only Justin Bieber.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, it's, I give him credit for coming out and saying, hey, I'm not in a good place and everything. I mean, I have lots of beef with him on different occasions.
Everyone
and stuff.
Has Everyone's, a lot. Every right? fan of good music and not just like a belieber has beef with Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber has, from his like Justin Bieber, I think, represents the internet and internet culture to me.
Mm-hmm.
It started out sort of nice and innocent and friendly and okay, and then just went towards this like routine like checkpoint of dumpster fires. Like every five steps is a new dumpster fire. And so as Justin Bieber sort of came to age, it was just all of this like acting out, peeing in a bucket, having a pet monkey, doing all this weird shit, acting out in videos, all the tattoos and shit.
Here's a quote from the thing he said. I find myself doing things that I was so ashamed of, being super promiscuous and stuff, and I think I use Xanax because I was so ashamed. My mom always said to treat women with respect for me. That's why that was always in my head while I was doing it, so I could never enjoy it. Drugs put a screen between me and what I was doing.
So I guess like, I he's really talking about how drug addiction got into his head and became not just the vehicle for dealing with what he was now doing, but also like, I mean, drugs allowed him to escape what he was doing, mm-hmm. but also made things worse because he would do things under the influence that would mm-hmm. exacerbate that his overall like it, life yeah. problems. And so he got out of that cycle and he's talking about it.
Yeah, it got pretty dark. I think there were times where my security was coming in late at night to check my pulse and see if I was still breathing.
Well, yeah, because you were on the, like, child celebrity streak, and we all know how that ends. Usually, it's 6 feet under.
Yeah, so it's honestly refreshing to hear him come out and talk about
it. It's absolutely refreshing, but, I mean, this still doesn't... A lot of people will be willing to, especially because this is a blonde white kid, will be willing to go, oh, he's seen the light, everything's better. Mm,
definitely not.
Remember, I will never forget how Justin Bieber, like, literally was appropriating black culture mm-hmm. to boost his career when he stopped being, okay, I'm done being like the nice pop boy, I want to be the bad boy. So he started appearing in all the trap albums, him and that Miley Cyrus tramp, like, well, doing all that horse shit. Like, they were trying to appropriate black culture to boost their careers and seem more cool, and acted wild and out of it when they were doing that. And then when they had their come to light moment, everything was okay, they started to go, yeah, I got off of drugs, I started hanging out with that crowd of bad people that we can all assume is bad. And it continues to perpetuate all of these things. And it's really just it continues to perpetuate all these negative views of others in society and other groups in society. When you read the interview, these are all his decisions and his mm-hmm. actions and his behaviors. He's not owning them enough. I mean, he's owning them in the sense that I did drugs, I did bad things. But what are you going to do about those bad things now that you're in a better state, Justin Bieber? I want to know what the fuck you're doing that. And until then, you're just another, like, white trash shithead who came from the boondocks of Canada looking to make some money off of... I'm gonna stop myself because I'm about to get angry.
Well, all right, damn.
I don't like...
going on a tangent, okay?
This has been a strange episode because I liked Ariana Grande more than I expected to.
Fuck
and
no.
You defended Justin Bieber more than I expected to.
Well, because it's drug culture because we have too many fucking people dying from it.
Right, I understand.
And if you can honestly open up and talk about it in general and say, hey, I have a problem. There's stuff going on that I am not proud of. That takes a lot. Because, again, I don't like his music. His music is dog shit. But it takes strength, and it takes some things to open up about that, especially in the music industry, because you see how much abuse we've kept talking about since the entirety of the goddamn podcast. So that's me. I'm like, okay, I want more artists to open up about their stuff like this. Because it's like Maddie did about his addiction to heroin. I really want people to start talking about they're coming clean and stuff. I really want them to say, hey, this is what happened, and I want to get better and improve myself. And I want to see them do that and see what they do with themselves after they come clean. Because it's such a problem in music in general. So
I think you're right, and I should take a lot more of a forgiving perspective, but I will shit on Justin Bieber any chance I can. It's just like part of my modus operandi at this point. But we always like to end audio face, and we've given you a hell of an audio face today on a fun note. It's been a roller coaster. I think this has been like, if you want to understand us as people, you listen to this exact episode of audio face.
As people, we
went through a good range of things here. But we always like to end on a fun note. What's that fun note today?
I almost said the C word, but Kanye West was sued by a family of little girl sampled an ultralight beam.
The little girl says Kanye asked the wrong mother.
Oh, fuck. What a goon.
So,
what a dumbass.
So, Andrew and Shirley Green, the legal guardians of TMZ reports. The then 4-year-old whose prayer was used in ultralight beam.
Oh, yeah.
The court documents obtained by TMZ claim that Kanye cleared the sample through Natalie's biological mother, who has no authorization. Natalie
was
adopted by the Greens.
Chimomo.
And so, you know, now that I read that, that's a... And it depends when did the adoption happen. So the
24th.
Okay. It's a little bit iffy. I mean, I would love to say, like, Kanye's a dumbass, but it's definitely a little bit iffy. If Kanye happened to know of the... Well, it's not like Kanye knew of the girl as she was being adopted. She just went to the wrong person, and that was just, like, shoddy business and not doing your due diligence, which is not surprising compared to Kanye West, if we're talking about Kanye West. But,
We have all of this, all these people to go and help sample, and you don't realize that she's adopted. Fucking idiots.
Also, second fun note,
Yeah, Childish Gambino's beard is, he looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi with a fucking dyed-ass beard that makes him look like he's 55.
Yeah, he looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi, but with Obi-Wan Kenobi's beard, despite the fact that Obi-Wan Kenobi's white.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. It's Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's a mood, for sure.
Dan, don't get any ideas.
I'm not thinking of dyeing my beard. My hair I've thought of, but like...
You've always been...
Thought of and done, but like...
Don't do that. I hereby ban you.
I don't know. I mean, usually when you ban me from doing horrible life choices that negatively affect my life, I just go out and do them and learn the hard way. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, this time, I said I told you so last time, so you better listen to me this time.
Anyways, next week on Audio Face, at the very least, we will have Czarface and mm-hmm. Ghostface Killah, along with Homeshake. Those mm-hmm. are good, clean, wholesome rap. Good, clean, wholesome
Uncle
indie
rap.
Shit.
Let's figure it out.
Uncle Rap, goddamn right. Thanks for the correction. 2 weeks from now, we may or may not have the Harvard dropout. We said the same thing in August, and you know how that happened.
Where's the fucking album?
And of course, all of the music news and music culture that has yet to break in between.
Hopefully no more surprise UK artists.
Turns out Cardi B's from Zimbabwe.
Turns out Cardi B's from Lithuania.
Anyways, this has been, this riot has been Audio Face.
Us in a nutshell.
Wanna take us out?
Yeah. Go follow us. Here, I actually do it. Follow us on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram. We do post videos on YouTube. Everything for us can be found at Audio Face Pod.
And really fast on YouTube, the Grammys are tonight, so we are releasing video versions, video clips of every award done on the Audio Face Awards.
Because these are the awards that matter.
Yeah, and we're also going to get some of that sweet, sweet Grammys traffic. So.
And then you can follow me on Instagram. I don't fucking use Twitter. SW Suarez and my weird life adventures. And please fucking send me music and shit to listen to.
Yeah.
And Dan on Instagram at Dan from the internet, and on Twitter at Dan from the web, because some dude from 2008 who's never used Twitter still has Dan from the internet.
I love how every single time we do these plugs, you end up mentioning that.
Because it's just hilarious to me. And just show us music, rate us, whatever. Figure it out. If you hate us, tell us.
Right.
If we need to stop doing this, tell us.
Yeah, I will double down on Sean's request. Send us both music through Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram so we can listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about it on the podcast, maybe. So there's a good chance we'll talk about it on the podcast. So literally do that. And yeah, we'll see y'all next week.
Cheers. I'm sorry, exactly 2 minutes.
No.
GPT.
5 seconds.
Yeah, I'm being German.